This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If somebody commits a serious crime, sexual assault, murder, they're going to be punished. They may be in jail for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, their whole lives. That's what happens when you commit a serious crime. But I think the right to vote is inherent to our democracy. Yes, even for terrible people. Because once you start chipping away and you say, well, that guy committed a terrible crime, not going to let him vote. Or that person did that, not going to let that person vote. You're running down a slippery slope. So I believe that people who commit crimes, they pay the price. When they got out of jail, I believe they certainly should have the right to vote. But I do believe that even if they are in jail, they're paying their price to society. But that should not take away their inherent American right to participate in our democracy.
So that was Bernie Sanders at a CNN town hall when he was asked a very specific pointed question of whether the Boston Marathon bomber should have the right to vote. So, and then it opened up the Pandora's box of this conversation, which is our cue of the day. Do you think felons should have the right to vote while imprisoned? And we want to hear from you. Give us a call right now, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. And we've actually got Jared Hill joining us, our pop culture and political journalist, who definitely probably has an opinion about this. Welcome back.
I can't wait.
Hey, of course I have an opinion about this one.
Jared, I have been waiting for this moment. I feel what it feels like my entire life.
Oh, God.
No, it's one of those things because, one, if we want to quickly kind of compare, Bernie, that was a town hall that he did, but then we just talked about kind of Pete Buttigieg, and we had a discussion about this new report that was saying that, you know, Bernie supporters would literally vote for Trump before they would even vote for Pete Buttigieg. And I'm interested because there's two sides to this, because we have Bernie's response to this whole, prison infringement thing and disfranchisement, and then we also have what Pete Buttigieg said. Here's that.
When you are out, when you have served your sentence, then part of being restored to society is that you are part of the political life of this nation again. And one of the things that needs to be restored is your right to vote. As you know, some states and communities do it, some don't. I think we'd be a better country if everybody did it. And frankly, I think the motivations for preventing that kind of re-enfranchisement in some cases have to do with one side of the aisle noticing that they politically benefit from that, and that's got some racial layers too. So that's one of many reasons that I believe that re-enfranchisement upon release is important. But part of the punishment when you were convicted of a crime and you're incarcerated is you lose certain rights, you lose your freedom. And I think during that period, it does not make sense to have an exception for the right to vote.
Pete Buttigieg and him and Bernie on two extreme ends here. And it's, you know, creating a lot of disruption.
The thing about Pete's side is a lot of people actually don't think that is extreme. They think Bernie's point of view is extreme. Jared, what do you have to say? What are you thinking over there?
I am going to have to agree with Bernie Sanders on this. I have always thought that it was a little bit problematic that when we send people away to prison and we have them paying their debt to society, they don't have the right to vote. Like,
yes.
we hold up this idea in America that voting is the most basic, fundamental, constitutionally granted right. But, like, if you commit a crime, you don't have that even most basic right, right? And then we also hold that even when people come out of prison, saying that they've paid their debt to society, but in many states you cannot vote. Again, we saw this in the 2018 midterm election in Florida, where the ballot measure was asking whether or not people should be able to vote after they come out of prison, and Floridians said, yes, they should. That adds a million more people to the voter rolls,
right,
in Florida. So it has a very political undertone to it when there's a fight about who should and who shouldn't be able to vote, because we know that disproportionately the people who are in prison are overwhelmingly Black and brown,
mm-hmm.
or and things like that. So it's a hard story.
No, and
that's really interesting. So don't you think the Democrats, most of them, would want then, you know, people in prison to vote, because maybe then there'd be more, you know, obviously there's representation, and then possibly it would help.
Well, but I don't think it's from a statistical standpoint, right? But I don't even think it should even be that bipartisan. I mean, that it should be that partisan, I should say.
Yeah.
I think it's a situation of people who are Americans, we expect these people to pay taxes when they come out of prison. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We expect them to abide by our other laws, but, like, we don't give them the right to be able to vote.
Yeah.
I think the most controversial part is while they're in prison, I could see that's where people are probably going to waver the most.
Well, and like you spoke about, you know, mostly people in prison are, you know, from marginalized communities. They're black and brown people. And a lot of times they, you know, it could be in for the smallest of charges of, like, a weed, like a marijuana charge. And so it's something to be said that, oh, you can't have, you know, your right to vote because of that. But I think there's an extreme, like, even bought into this conversation where we're talking about the Boston bomber, the marathon bomber,
yeah.
Where it's kind of like, that's like apples and oranges, because let's be kind of real here. The Boston marathon bomber is probably not getting out of jail anytime soon. And it's also one of those things where I think it also kind of goes into, if you're thinking about it, like, or how I kind of perceived it, is like, oh, well, it's kind of like when homophobes were like, oh, well, gay people can get married now. Well, what about my dog too? Can my dog get married? It just makes no sense to me. And I think there's not even a chance to say it. And because it's been such a huge number, especially like Florida, where we're seeing that over, like you said, 1 million people are going to have now that's going to add it to the voting polls. It's kind of like, just be real with like life here and say that you just don't want black and brown people to like vote. It's like voter suppression.
if over a million's in Florida and 2.3 million Americans are currently locked up in prison, that means there's a lot of people that are in Florida.
Well, no, to be clear, there are 2.3 million people in jail right now,
in
prison right now. In Florida, the million people represents all of the people who are who have been released from prison over the course of their lifetime. So it's not necessarily about people who are in prison. Yeah.
Well, and I also think this isn't even a new thing, Jared, because, you know, there are other places that do this. Why do you feel like the United States hasn't, why is this even a conversation kind of going into this 2020 election, as we're seeing?
I think we're seeing a lot of identity politics coming up, right? Like this election, we are looking at a president who has completely been a white supremacist in a lot of ways. We've seen a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment. We've seen all kinds of different things that have to do with identity politics. And I think all of those things are going to come up as we get closer and closer to the election and have to really come to grips with, like, who is in office and what our alternative is going to be. So I think this is going to be something that we're going to continue to see more. This is why we're having more conversation now about reparations, as we see more and more conversation about, you know, the black vote and black women being like such an important voter base. I think all of those things are going to continue to grow as we see the Democrats try to figure out how to beat Donald Trump.
Is this a big enough, I mean, this is a huge issue, but is it important enough to, you know, to focus on as part of a campaign? Don't you think there are bigger issues that Americans want? Are there bigger issues that Americans want to see focused on right now that could then sway them to vote specifically for a Democrat versus Trump?
Absolutely. I think this is also one of the consequences of having such a long tail of an election. We're going to have the conversations about a lot of little things that we probably wouldn't have had conversations about if our election cycle was a year, right? Or if it was, you know, 9 months, like it is in other countries where it's only a few months before Election Day. But we have 2 years to look at these candidates, so we're going to ask them about everything. I want to know what kind of Pop-Tart you like. I want to know if you like frosted or unfrosted strawberry, because I have an opinion about that too.
Do you think felons should have the right to vote while imprisoned? It's something that everyone is talking about in the political world right now, in the news headlines after Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg spoke out about it. And actually, we have some responses on social media as well. And you can give us a call so we can hear your voice around this topic. 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-77-22557.
All right. So Kimberly said, not if they are in prison. I think all rights resume once you do your time. Dr. Pepper is a woman, said, yes, just because you broke the law, even for crimes like murder, does not mean you are no longer a human being. You still have rights. People who pretend otherwise should reevaluate how quickly they take someone's humanity from them. And then also Sabi says, I mean, they are still citizens, but at the same time, they might not be taking things seriously, but you can't judge it off the whole group. There might be some individuals who are trying their best and become better people. I don't know. That's some social media responses. We'll get back into those, but we actually have a caller.
Hi, my name is Jill, and I'm a retired ATF agent of 31 years. And I think that if you do the voting rights restoration for felons, then you open up a can of worms because felons are prohibited from owning firearms. So if they're prohibited from owning firearms and they have their rights restored to vote, are we saying then that they could be felons when they get out of jail and still own firearms?
Interesting. Oh. So you're saying one domino can affect another domino.
Exactly.
Well, I think, and I, to kind of be a devil's advocate, yeah, how often do you feel like that would actually be the case? Because a lot of times there is a lot of people in prison that was wrongfully accused and now they're serving out a sentence. It's not going to be all
for
like
something small.
Not everyone in prison are these like huge terrorist radical people. So I guess, what do you think to that?
Well, it's not that they're terrorists or radical. It's that they have lost their right under the Constitution once they're a felon, and it's in the law that they can't own a firearm. Mm. So if in the law it says that when you're a felon and you are have that conviction, you can't go into a gun store and buy a gun. You've lost that right. If you do that, then you're committing a crime. So I know that it's the severity of it is very different, but it's the same thing. You have a right to vote. You have a right to own a firearm. If you lose the right to have a firearm, but you have the right to vote, you know, how is that balanced?
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you for your thoughts on this.
Where are you calling from, by the way?
Palm Springs.
Oh,
hello.
We love our Palm Springs fam, and thank you so much for giving us a call.
Yeah.
Yeah, just something to think about.
No, and we appreciate it. We love our smart listeners.
Bye, love.
Have a good night.
All right, bye.
See, I wonder if we could just, you know, give them the right to vote without giving them the right to firearms.
But maybe
that makes it too complicated.
But that goes into gun reform and all these things. The lines are blowing up right now. Who else is on the line? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who is this and where are you from?
Hey, this is William Wallace calling.
Oh, we love a full government
William
name.
William Wallace. So what do you think of our cue of the day? Do you think felons should have the right to vote while imprisoned?
I am a big, big Bernie Sanders fan. I am 55 years old, so I'm not one of the younger generations that support him. I'm a little bit older, but I'm a big Bernie Sanders fan. However, with that said, I do not agree with people being able to vote in jail. I feel that they should be able to have the right to vote after they get out of jail and become a part of society again, but not while in jail.
Yeah, I'm split also. I'm kind of like on the fence about it, but I know there's a lot of people that are in jail for offenses that don't make sense or wrongfully accused. So what do you think about that? How are we supposed to allow them to have rights?
I don't know how to answer that.
Right.
I really don't know how to answer that. That's a hard decision. And how do you decide who's going to get to vote if they're on a marijuana charge
exactly.
or if they're in life for murdering somebody?
Well, William, I really want to know, do you think this is going to be, is this too much of a stretch for Bernie Sanders? Do you think this is going to harm him in the 2020 elections when it comes to getting that universal
absolutely
support?
Absolutely not. I don't think that people will be voting. I think you're going to hear a lot of issues discussed out here. I do not think that this is going to be the issue. I think you're going to hear, a lot about the economy and a lot about gun control and other issues. Those are going to be the issues being discussed. And I think people are going to make up their mind based on those issues. There's going to be something about every candidate that a person doesn't like.
Oh yeah, of course.
But people are going to go with the candidate that they like the most.
Yeah, and before we go, I don't know if you heard about the poll that we talked about that Bernie Sanders voters would end up voting for Trump. Would you be one of those people?
Absolutely not. I didn't do it last time, although I didn't care for Hillary Clinton. I voted for her.
Girl, I didn't either.
You know, I would never, never vote for a Republican. And not only that, but Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are way different from each other.
I don't even understand
the logic between, going from, Bernie Sanders over to Donald Trump. It doesn't even make sense.
It makes no sense. It really feels like apples and oranges. But thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Where are you calling from?
Palm Springs.
Come on, Palm Springs. Y'all are in the house tonight.
And I love your radio station. I listen to it every night.
Honey, thank you, because I just want to let you know you're probably the only one. So we appreciate it. I'm just joking.
No, I am not. I know I am not.
Each person is special.
I love him. He's so sweet. Yeah, we love our callers.
Thank you. And call back. We love your thoughts. You have good opinions.
Promise I'll call you back.
Yay! Bye, Will.
Have a great night.
Honey, the conversation is going on.
It's heated.
I mean, we're still taking calls, so let's keep it going.
Yeah, give us a call. 833-77-CALL-Q. 833-772-2557. Do you think felons should have the right to vote while imprisoned?
Yeah, we actually have Randy on the line. What's your answer? What are you thinking?
Hey, guys. This is Randy from Palm Springs. How are you?
Wonderful, Randy. Hey, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, what do you think?
They should have the right. They're a citizen. I don't think they should be discriminated against. Even though they're serving their time, but I still think they have the right, and it will help the votes.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, very interesting. Thank you so much, Randy. We appreciate it.
And we love you for listening.
You're welcome, guys.
Bye. All right, so Dan's on the line. Yeah. What do you got to say for our question of the day?
Hi, I'm Dan from Chicago, not Palm Springs.
Yeah, nice. Chicago. So what are your thoughts?
I would say no. My thinking is always to the extreme and always the what ifs. Not to be funny about it, but I feel like they are a captive audience, and if a candidate were to come out with some type of strange platform, but a side part of that platform or one plank of it was to free all drugs, convicts from drugs or something like that, then it's possible that the entire, voting block of currently imprisoned people would all elect someone that might not be best for the country.
Oh, it would swing the vote. Donald Trump would end up focusing in on them for his next round of voters?
I mean, I have thoughts on your thoughts, but we'll keep a conversation going.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in from Chicago and for your opinion. We like opposing views.
Yeah, we really do. We love it.
Again,
have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Again, our cue of the day. If you want to give us a call, we're about to wrap, but we'll keep them coming. Do you think felons should have the right to vote while imprisoned? Our number is 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557.
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
So 67% of the people in prison are people of color. They're black and brown people. And mostly often they are in
67%.
And most of the times, and we actually have more research on that even 1.9% are actually LGBTQ+.
Yeah.
And that's about 43,000, 700 queer people. But when we're going back to people of color and just marginalized communities, a lot of times they are in prison for offenses that either are very, very small, minute, or they were wrongfully accused, or all these things. Now, where Dan was coming from, where I guess it's kind of like the extremist side, those people oftentimes are going to be such a small amount of the voting poll, when it comes to the editorial college and the popular vote, that they're not even going to matter. People are not going to vote for some crazy president. All the people that did vote for a crazy president are out here living a free life, who probably should be, and that's the reason why we have Trump in office.
You said there's more people of color in prison,
There's more people of color in prison.
A lot of the wine.
A lot of, especially the, in the com, and a lot of our responses, and a lot of people in the conversation, and especially like kind of the Pete Buttigieg, is when we're hearing that, you know, they're saying people who are felons are in prison should have the right to vote. A lot of times they are white people. They are not people of color, because they're coming from a different experience, and they're thinking that all prisoners are bad, except for when we're living in a system that is systematically not meant for marginalized communities or minorities. That's why you have such a like a kind of a tunnel vision view on this conversation.
Of course.
There's a bigger topic
and
here. It's more complicated.
Yeah, and I love obviously your insights on it and your perspective. So is this a turnoff for you from Pete Buttigieg? You've been very turned off by him lately.
For sure. I think it's a very kind of, I don't know. I think everything was kind of leading up for him that was pretty good. I was like, oh, this is great. He gives great responses. But there was even a new report that said that he is having a hard time getting the support from black people, from people of color. One, that's many layers. There's like many layers to unpack there, because one, black people, it's very hard because there's already their viewpoint where how they look at homosexuality.
Yeah.
But then you're adding in that you do not think that, you know, prisoners should have the right to vote, when that's a lot of times that's their family members. That's people they know. That is people that are in their lives. And so you're telling them that they don't have a right to vote on what's going out here. They're still human beings. I'm sorry. I'm on the side of a Bernie Sanders for this moment. But do I think there are other topics, like kind of like you said, that are a bigger picture here? Yeah, I do. And I think we need to be careful what we're focusing on. And the reason why Pete Buttigieg is slaying it so much is because he does have this one point of view, but then he also is kind of like, which is a point of view that a lot of conservatives and Republicans also have. So, of course, he's going to kind of win that middle ground. And I think that's something that we need to focus on in the 2020 election.